John 6:27-63 begins, "Do not labor for food that perishes, but instead labor for the food that endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give to you. For God the Father has authorized and certified him with his seal." To labor is to work hard. What is the hard work you must do that endure to everlasting life? To daily, persistently, and patiently expose yourself to hearing Christ speak his commands and teachings to you, by sitting, waiting on God, listening, watching, hearing, believing, and obeying. That is the one thing needed and the only works which survive the fire that everyone must pass through. This is part of the cross that you must daily bear, denying your own will, and obeying the will of God instead. They then said, "What shall we to do, that we might work the works of God?" To work the works of God is to listen to God and obey what he commands, just as Jesus only judged as he was told to judge, spoke only the words he was told to speak, and did only what the Father showed him to do. Everything Jesus did was exactly according to the will of God, doing his will on earth as it is done in heaven by the angels. And that is what we must do to work the works of God, which is working righteousness like Jesus worked righteousness. And Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on, depend on, trust, and obey him whom he has sent." The blind guides of Christianity point to these verses and say, "See, no work for salvation is necessary. All you have to do is believe." However, Jesus is not telling them all they had to do was believe he was the Son of God. That is not work or even slight effort. He warned that we must strive, which is to work hard. Strive to enter by the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and not be able to. Luke 13:24. Jesus wanted them and wants us to believe and act in obedience to what he taught. Repent or perish, Luke 13:3-5. Sin no more, John 8:11-5-14. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, Matt 4:17. If any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, Matt 16:24. For whoever will save his life shall lose it. And whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it, Matt 16:25. So likewise, whoever does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple, Luke 14:33. Therefore be merciful as your Father also is merciful, Luke 6:36. Therefore be perfect, even as your Father who is in heaven is perfect, Matt 5:48. Click here to see a complete list of his commands. From the word of the Lord within, Jesus did not die so you can continue to sin. He told us it was not enough to believe in God, we must believe what he says to be true. It is not enough to believe in Jesus, we must believe what he says and then act on it. If all anyone has to do to have eternal life and salvation is believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then his disciples would have left him and gone home long before the 3 years that they spent with him night and day, sleeping on the ground. They knew he was the Son of God, but Peter said that eternal life came by listening to his words. "You have words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God," John 6:68. It is devoid of common sense to think all you have to do is believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That is ignoring that every man must deny himself and daily take up his cross to follow, obey Jesus. That is ignoring you must lose your life to save your life. That is ignoring all the scriptures that specifically state the exclusions, requirements, and qualifying conditions of salvation. That is ignoring that every man will be judged on his works and words. Even the demons believe that Jesus is the Son of the Most High God, and they tremble in fear of their ultimate fate. If you believe in him, you will obey him. Without obedience, your belief is the lip service of the hypocrites. If you don't believe enough to follow the commands Jesus left us in Scripture, you don't believe in Jesus. If you believe his commands, then you must follow his priorities. 1. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Matt 6:33, and then 2. Do the one thing needed. To sit at the feet of Christ and hear his words that he speaks to you, Luke 10:39-42, which is part of taking up the cross. You must expose yourself to hearing Christ speak his commands and teachings to you by sitting, waiting on God, listening, watching, hearing, believing, and obeying. That is the one thing needed and the only works which survive the fire that everyone must pass through. Christ is the Word of God, and the light is the light of the Word, which Word and light is Christ. God has sent Christ to us as the Word and the light within each of us. He has given us all the Holy Spirit of God to benefit all, and grace has appeared to all men, so that you do not need any man to teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you all things and is truth. Christ is within each of us, patiently waiting to teach us all things. To be a true believer, we must listen to Christ within us and receive him as the Son of God teaching us. We receive him by being obedient to what we hear him tell us to do, commands to repent, and to what he shows us by his light that is our condition and how we need to improve. We hear his living word and see our condition by his light. Therefore they said to him, "What sign, miracle will you show us that we may see and believe you? What miraculous work will you do? Our fathers ate manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always and for all time." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes on me shall never thirst. But I told you that although you have seen me, you still do not believe. All whom the Father gives me shall come to me, and he who comes to me I will never cast out. And to come to him is with his name in mind, to sit in humble silence while patiently and persistently waiting on him to speak. As you listen, watch, hear, believe what you hear is from him, and then obey what he commands. Whoever comes to me and listens to my spoken words and does practices, obeys them, listens to his voice, he is like a man who built a house, who dug deep and laid the foundation upon a rock." Luke 6:47-48. Assuming you have actually heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. F4:21. Take heed what you hear. With what measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. Mark 4:24-25. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the Father's will, that I should lose none of all those he gives me, but should raise them up again at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes on, depends on, trusts, and obeys him, may have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. You see him after you are baptized with fire into the baptism of death, the last day of your sinful nature, the old life of the flesh that has been crucified and has died. You lose your life to save your life, the life of God in you. You see him as he comes, bringing your salvation, to raise you to the new life of a new creature, and to then enter the kingdom with eternal life. From the word of the Lord within, you must lose your life to save it. The sacrifice of life has been given to the few who would lose their life to save it. The sacrifice of life is a twist of fate. The sacrifice of life is given to those who can afford it. Thou art the sacrifice. They lost their life by me taking their life. One actually dies to enter the camp. The time will come, and now is, when the dead shall hear the Son of God and live. You will hear his voice when he calls you. You are raised to a new life, not just an imitation. He is one with us and ever present. What works must you do to obtain a pure heart and eternal life? Jesus tells us how. It is not by reading the Bible, it is not going to a building and listening to someone talk, it is not asking God for what you want. You must go to him. You must wait on him, listen in humble silence, with the humility of a sinner in need of his changing power, grace. Wait, watch, listen, hear, obey. Wait, watch, listen, hear, obey, seek, listen, obey. You must endure to the end to see Christ bring your salvation. Seek the Lord your God, and you will find him, if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. Deut 4:29. Then the Jews murmured at him, because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How then can he say, 'I came down from heaven'?" Therefore Jesus answered and said to them, "Do not grumble and complain among yourselves. No man can come to me unless the Father who has sent me draws him and gives him the hunger to come to me, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God." God will personally teach each of us, now or after death. To learn in this life is easier, and the result is better. Every man, therefore, who has heard and has learned from the Father comes to me. Not that any man has seen the Father except he who comes from God, he alone has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes, depends on, trusts, obeys on me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. But this is the bread that came down from heaven, so that a man may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. If any man eats of this bread, he shall live forever. The bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." He is not only speaking to the Jews 2,000 years ago, but to us too. His bread still comes down from heaven. His words that we hear him speak are bread. "The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life-giving." John 6:63, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Matt 4:4, "Give us this day our daily bread." Matt 6:11, "The words that Jesus speaks to us." Then the Jews argued among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives continually in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he who feeds on me shall live by me. It is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life-giving. The words you hear are the bread of life, the bread from heaven. The words are life, his life, for Christ is the life. The words are his flesh and blood. Each word you hear from the Spirit is the life of Jesus, his flesh and blood, that is engrafted into your heart." John 6:27-63 ends, "From the word of the Lord within, I am the light of the world. Whoever continues to feed on me shall have the light of life. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." In summary, Christ declared, "I am the bread of life. This is the bread that came down from heaven, but not as your fathers ate manna and are dead, for he who eats of this bread shall live forever." John 6:48-58, Christ ends with, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and life-giving." John 6:63, "Which life of God is Christ?" John 1:5-14-6, "So that Christ is formed within you." Gal 4:19, "Until finally Christ is fully formed and actually resurrected in you." 2 Cor 4:14-2, 11-12-3, 1 F 2:5-6, Rom 6:13. As Paul said, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." You then see Christ, the glory of God, appear in your heart and witness him bringing your salvation and eternal life. Clearly, his words, which we must labor to hear by getting quiet to wait and listen, are the daily bread that we must eat by listening, hearing, and obeying, repenting. Luke 6:47-48. "The words you hear are the bread of life, the bread from heaven. The words are his flesh and blood. Each word you hear from the Spirit is the life of Jesus, his flesh and blood, that is engrafted into your heart, forming Christ within you. Until Christ is fully formed and resurrected in you to be your true Lord, ruling your thoughts, your words, and your deeds. From the word of the Lord within, Christ is actually resurrected in every person that comes to him and obeys him repetitively. With persistent and faithful obedience, you too will be raised. Perhaps you can see how the ritual of communion has been substituted for the real communion, a dialogue from Christ to you, a dialogue of words from him that you retain, you eat, so that his spoken words are engrafted into your heart, to then abide in you, and then control you. More words, more control. See the webpage on sacraments, which shows how communion is rooted in a pagan religion sacrifice. We are supposed to remember Christ every time we eat and drink, until his return in us, not grape juice and wafers in a sect service. In Luke 13:23-28, Jesus said he will ban from heaven those who think they are entitled to heaven because they supposedly ate and drank with him, which proves the rituals of communion and the Eucharist are of no value. And someone said to him, "Lord, are there only a few who will be saved?" And he said to them, "Strive to enter in at the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able to. And once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, you will stand outside and knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he will answer and say to you, 'I do not know you or where you come from.' From the word of the Lord within, I only know those who have been crucified. He knows everything, but his knowing you is for him to become one with you, which occurs after you have been crucified. That is when we see him for the first time with a pure heart and hear his voice like thunder over waters the first time. Up until then, we interface with the word and light within our hearts plus the Holy Spirit who prepares us for the meeting of unity with Jesus, who is holy, harmless and separate from sinners. You can call him Lord, you can call him Master, but so did Judas. Calling Jesus Lord does not make him your Lord. He is your Lord only if he has freed you from all sin, if he has destroyed your carnal mind, if he has purified you, and if he supplies all your words to speak, all your thoughts, and all your deeds to be done. Then you will say, "We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets." This fits very well with those who think communion, or the Eucharist, is eating and drinking in his presence, and proves rituals of communion and the Eucharist are of no value. Jesus denies them ever eating and drinking in his presence, and denies their origin as valid. Of course he knows everything, including their continued sinning till death. His denial is a denial of knowing them by their eating and drinking in his presence, and him having taught among them, both of which they thought had occurred and entitled them to enter heaven. Those who die still sinning will be banned from heaven. He only knows you if you have been crucified. But he will say, "I tell you, I do not know you or where you come from, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity wrongdoers, still sinning." Every man is judged by their words and works, including those who claim to be Christians. God shows partiality to no man. From the word of the Lord within, remember, every person who sins denies him as Lord and Master. If you are still sinning, you belong to sin and not to me. See myself, thus no sin has a place in me. Everyone is expecting Jesus to be their excuse. I've warned them and given them the requirements and preached the exclusions. They should not expect anything else or conclusion. All men have heard the call to repent. People must stand the price for their very brazen behavior. If you haven't seen him and listened to him, neither do you know him. Unless cleansed and purified by the Lord's Spirit that destroys sin within man, every man's heart starts filled with evil, filled with sin, defiled, and disqualified for heaven. From the word of the Lord within, I only know those who have been crucified. He knows everything, but his knowing you is for him to become one with you, which occurs after you have been crucified. And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrust out. Luke 13, 23-28, and the real Lord's Supper is disclosed in Revelation 3, 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Rev 3, 20. The door is every man's heart. The knock is his gentle, anonymous pleading with you to depart from evil. To open the door is to believe his pleading to be true and to repent from the evil that he exposes, changing your conduct appropriately. As early Quaker, kingdom-dwelling Stephen Crisp wrote, "If a man opens his heart and receives Christ when he comes, then you shall find such an alteration in that man, that go and try him with the same temptation which prevailed over him in the last week, it will not do so now. Though he is as weak as water, and as prone to corruption and iniquity as before, yet now having a faith begotten in him, that the grace of God will defend him, he keeps out of the devil's snares. Now this man trusting in this grace until his sin and iniquity is purged out, now is the time to spread the table. Now there is a clean heart, and the heavenly guest has now come, and the dainties of the kingdom are brought to him for his nourishment. Now, says Christ, I will come in and sup with him, and my Father will also come, and we will sup with him and he with us. This never happens to anybody so long as the table and heart is foul, for the table must be clean, and the devil and sin thrown out, and then will the Lord confirm and ratify and seal the covenant, so that here is a seal with a witness. When a man has this testimony of the love of God, that God is reconciled to him in Christ, then Christ will come in, and he will bring his Father, and they will sup with him. And this is what will give complete satisfaction to such a soul. So remember, Christ told us to do not labor for food that perishes, but instead labor for the food that endures to everlasting life. All of the supposed sacraments are man's invention of an easy, ritualized, self-performed salvation that could hardly be described as the narrow gate, to which we must strive to enter, and which few will find, for many embrace the broad, easy way that leads to destruction. To strive is to exert much effort or energy. Few would argue that being wet with water, or eating bread and drinking wine, is to labor with much effort or energy. Rather, it forms a fantasy salvation of no effort, just ritual. I would include saying the sinner's prayer, say the magic words, to be just another superstitious invention of self-appointed evangelists, who are anxious to get credit for their imagined saving of souls. The Lord also tells us how to become qualified to enter heaven. Whoever comes to me and listens to my spoken words and does practices, obeys them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man who built a house and dug deep and laid the foundation securely built on a rock. And when the flood arose, the torrent beat violently upon that house, but could not shake it because it was founded on a rock. Luke 6:47-48, he can't make it any plainer. He said, "Come to me, listen to my words, not the Bible, and do practice, obey them." To do them is to practice them and obey them. And when you obey them, you have received Christ by recognition and obedience. From this sure foundation, he builds true faith and hope which purifies you. If a man loves me, he will obey my spoken words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. John 14:22-23, the above two teachings of Jesus are the core message of this website. Come to him, listen to his words, do the words he gives you, obey his commands. If you love Jesus, you will obey him. The Father then loves you, and he and Jesus come to you and make their home with you, and their home is the kingdom of God within you. Write what you hear down in a notebook, review your commands periodically so you don't forget one, and keep repenting. Rev 3:2-3, his words teach you and command you, which if you continue to feed upon and obey, he lives through you, and he returns in full glory to you. To his disciples he said, "I will not leave you comfortless like orphans, I will come to you." While the disciples were on earth, before long the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, and because I live, you will live also. In that day when you see him, you will know that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. This is the return of Christ. The world does not see it. He returns with the Father. They become one with us. It is a personal experience. This is not the resurrection. He is talking about becoming one union with the disciples. He who has my commands and obeys them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and will show myself to him. Then Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you show yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "If a man loves me, he will obey my spoken words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." John 14:18-23, "I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." 2 Cor 6:16, this is the return of Christ with the kingdom in his glory with the Father. They become one with us. It is a personal experience to see Christ and become one with Christ and the Father. The world does not see him. Other than the fruit of the Spirit, the world does not see Christ, for such a person's life is hidden in Christ Jesus. This is the fabled return of Christ, and their home is the glorious kingdom of heaven established in your heart. This is union with God and the kingdom of heaven. When he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And every man who has this hope purifies himself, even as he, Jesus, is pure. 1 John 3:2-3, to those who persistently and patiently wait for him, he will appear the second time, not to bear sin, but to bring full salvation. Heb 9:28, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, and how to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. As we receive the blessed fulfillment of our hope, even the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Tit 2:11-13, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Luke 12:32, so wait, watch, listen, hear, obey. Wait, watch, listen, hear, obey, seek, listen, obey. Keep doing this and Christ will lead you through repentance to purity, truth, and the kingdom. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Heb 11:6, diligence is defined as continually attending to and striving to achieve a goal, laborious, persevering. Jesus said, "Take heed therefore how you hear. For whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, from him shall be taken even that which he seems to have." Luke 8:18, for more understanding on the necessity of learning in silence, see George Fox's outstanding writing on why silence. Also on the sidebar, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." John 10:27, at judgment, Jesus said he would reject many who called him Lord and had even performed miracles in his name, telling them plainly, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity, sin, lawlessness, or wickedness." Matt 7:21-23, but if we listen to him, obey him, abide in him, and are purified by him, then we don't sin and he knows us. If you continue in obedience to my word, teachings, and commands heard, then you are truly my disciples, and then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:31-32 Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you are truly free. John 8:36 Jesus came so he could destroy the devil and his work sin in us, if we go to him. For this purpose the Son of God is revealed in us, that he might destroy in us the work sin of the devil. 1 John 3:8 Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. John 18:37 If a man abides in me and I in him, he produces much fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. Gal 5:22-23 For without me you can do nothing. John 15:5 Unless your works are done in obedience to God because of your love of God, they profit you nothing. 1 Cor 13:3 To produce fruit is to possess God's love. Then your works are done in obedient faith, which are powered and ordered by God. Gal 5:6 Abiding is the key to success as a Christian. Studying the Bible only tells us what we must achieve and avoid. To know the truth, you have to be taught by Jesus himself, personally, about himself. His living words must abide in you. To abide in Christ is to abide in his light, in his presence, in his living word, but not reading the Bible. This is how to obtain the kingdom of God while on earth. He, with his kingdom to give you, awaits you to come. This website's purpose is to show how to become free from sin by benefiting from the changing power of God through the cross, which leads to union with God and his kingdom.